This episode of Markets Daily is sponsored by Kava and BCB Group.
It's Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, a look at the billionaire bailing out some crypto firms, the latest headlines, and more. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin hit lows of $19,900 on Wednesday, but has since managed to hold just above the 20K mark. The decline came as analysts at big banks Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs each warned on Tuesday that recession risks are not fully priced in. Quote, "The bear market will not be over until recession arrives or the risk of one is extinguished," Morgan Stanley said in a note. Meanwhile, Goldman analysts said stock traders were pricing in a mild recession, quote, "leaving them exposed to a further deterioration in expectations," end quote. Separately, Citibank pegged the probability of the global economy seeing a recession in the near future at nearly 50%, as central banks, quote, "tighten monetary policy and demand for goods weakens," end quote. Lawrence Siss, head of Europe at Hashdex, said that as the market remains turbulent, it will likely continue to oscillate within a range of $19,000 to $22,000. Crypto observers say a long-term recovery in Bitcoin prices would take place only when global sentiment turns positive and signs of expansion return. Supply shocks for basic necessities could push up prices and eventually cause an economic slowdown, city economists said. The team now sees the world economy growing officially at 3% this year and 2.8% in 2023. That's according to Bloomberg. Taking a step back, Bitcoin has tracked broader markets closely over the past few months, meaning a further slide in broader markets could see Bitcoin falling further over the coming weeks, as traditional banks sound the alarm on the state of the overall global economy. Quote, "It's foolish to forego the wider macro context in which crypto and finance operate," the chief commercial officer at Choice said in a Telegram message earlier this week. They added, "Recent troubles seen at the crypto lender Celsius and prominent fund Three Arrows Capital have added to," quote, "crypto industry uncertainty," and that the market hasn't, quote, "hit the bottom yet." Elsewhere, altcoins which were up yesterday have reversed course. Solana is down 10%, while Avalanche and Polygon's native tokens are each down around 8%. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk's markets analysts, Lila Ledesma and Shuri Amawa. Bitcoin is currently trading at $20,478. That's down nearly 4% in the last 24 hours. While Ether is trading at $1,093 per token. That's down nearly 6% in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. In traditional markets, recent volatility and just generally bad times driven in large part by the removal of the U.S. central bank's market-lifting monetary policy persists. Early morning trading saw futures for major indexes sink lower. The NASDAQ 100 dropped by 1.7%, while the S&P 500 lost a little more than 1.5%. Overseas, the Pan-European Stoxx 600 and London's FTSE 100 each dropped by around 1.5 points, while Germany's DAX plunged by nearly 3%. Continuing to the east, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell a bit more than 2.25, while the Shanghai Composite dropped by 1.2. Japan's Nikkei 225 traded essentially flat. And rounding out our coverage with a few important commodities, gold traded basically flat, up about 0.25 point. Silver dropped by more than 1.25 point. And in a little bit of good news, even if only temporary, benchmark rates for crude oil dropped nearly 7% in the last 24 hours. Today's traditional markets coverage draws from CoinDesk and Yahoo Finance. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll be back with a few quick headlines we're tracking today with links to the full articles in the show notes for this episode as always. Then after the headlines, a look at Sam Bankman-Fried as his firm leads several big lender bailouts in the crypto sector. We'll be right back.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. With loan APYs as low as 0% and reward APYs as high as 200%, Kava is the safest place for you to grow your digital portfolio. Mint stablecoins, lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. BCB Group is the leading global provider of business accounts and trading services for the digital asset economy. With a dedicated focus on institutional payment services, BCB Group provides business banking, cryptocurrency, and foreign exchange market liquidity for crypto-engaged financial institutions. BCB business accounts offer multi-currency transaction banking solutions. With Blink Instant Settlements Network, you can move money instantly 24/7 with no transaction fees. Visit bcbgroup.com/coindesk to find out more about how BCB is empowering the global financial revolution.
Turning to big picture news, only about one-third of the current bout of high inflation in the United States is demand-driven. That's according to research published by the San Francisco branch of the Federal Reserve on Tuesday, underscoring the difficulties U.S. central bankers face in bringing inflation to heel. The Federal Reserve has ramped up the size of its interest rate hikes to historic levels as it tries to reduce inflation back to its 2% goal, raising core borrowing costs last week by 0.75 percentage point to a range of 1.5 to 1.75% as it seeks to cool demand across the economy while avoiding a recession, Reuters reports. Meanwhile, the relentless climb in U.S. home values continued in May when median prices shot above $400,000 for the first time, while sales activity slowed under pressure from higher mortgage costs. Rapidly rising interest rates are rippling through U.S. markets as the Federal Reserve tries to combat inflation. Stocks entered a bear market this month, consumer sentiment has taken a hit, and economists are forecasting an increasing likelihood of recession as higher rates threaten to choke off growth. But home buying demand continues to exceed unusually low levels of supply and propel prices higher. The median existing home price rose 14.8% in May from just 1 year earlier to $407,600, a record high in data that goes back to 1999, the National Association of Realtors said on Tuesday. And that rate was up slightly from just the previous month. The combination of rapidly rising rates and record home prices is squeezing many buyers out of the market and making it especially challenging for first-time buyers. The Wall Street Journal reports on this interesting story, but a few comments from myself. Many of you will know that the U.S. Central Bank, in addition to supporting debt and equity markets through their extraordinary monetary policy, has also, until recently, been a big buyer of mortgage-backed securities. For years now, they've hoovered up tens of billions of dollars worth of the asset each month. And now, with inflation as the increasingly prominent cause of a lot of misery out there, they've stopped that. But where does that leave the housing market? In the big picture, it's a good thing. But in the short term, it's going to leave a lot of people having made bad choices. One reason housing has become so expensive is because the cost of borrowing large sums of money to buy a house has been artificially inexpensive, in large part thanks to the Federal Reserve's actions. Just as tuition costs at colleges and universities exploded at many times the rate of inflation, housing is a supply and demand driven market. When it's cheap to borrow money, you can afford to borrow more, and it only takes two hopeful buyers to start a bidding war. This dynamic is amplified in the real world, where areas with few houses for sale and many would-be buyers stretch their personal means to win the prize, the fixed cost on housing, over a long period of time, in contrast to the rising and unstable cost of renting. And of course, eventual ownership of an asset that seemed for most of our lifetimes to only go up in value. Many homeowners have and will continue to benefit from this dynamic, but it's worth noting that for every winner in this arrangement, there are more losers, and that the game is fundamentally rigged. Nothing about the housing market, demand for housing, or the available supply has changed. What changed is the U.S. Central Bank stopped openly manipulating the cost of money as it relates to mortgages. And that changed everything. Turning to international news, the UK government will not implement its proposed version of a controversial rule requiring all senders of funds to private crypto wallets to collect identification details of recipients, a document recently published by the Treasury said. Based on the feedback received, the British Treasury does not think it would make sense to create a data collection rule for unhosted or private wallets. Quote, instead of requiring the collection of beneficiary and originator information for all unhosted wallet transfers, crypto asset businesses will only be expected to collect this information for transactions identified as posing an elevated risk of illicit finance, end quote. And that's according to the document. CoinDesk's Nick Day reports. Elsewhere, the collapse of Terra's UST stablecoin has made some investors think twice about buying other stablecoins, but it's had the opposite effect on Bermuda's premier, David Burt. He said in an interview that the Terra debacle highlights the importance of good regulation, vindicating his goal of making his country the world's home for safe, innovative assets. The recent dramatic loss of Terra USD's dollar peg is, quote, validation of the approach we've taken, Burt told CoinDesk during our recent Consensus 2022 conference. Continuing, what Bermuda wants is to be the hub of the global stablecoin market, where it's issued under a regulated environment so investors and citizens can have confidence. He concluded with, there are stablecoins, but then there are regulated stablecoins, end quote. CoinDesk's Jack Schickler has the details. Turning to industry news, crypto broker Voyager Digital may issue a notice of default to crypto hedge fund Three Arrows Capital. If it fails to make a loan payment, the company said in a statement on Wednesday. Voyager's exposure to Three Arrows Capital consists of some 15,250 Bitcoin worth approximately $370 million and $350 million worth of USDC, dollar-pegged stablecoins. The company, which has agreed to a loan from Alameda Ventures to secure its assets, initially asked for a payment of 25 million USDC by June 24th and then requested repayment of the entire amount by June 27th of this year. While several days remain before those deadlines, neither of those amounts have been repaid, Voyager said in their statement this morning. Dubai-based Three Arrows Capital said on June 17th it had suffered heavy losses in the recent market downturn and had hired legal and financial advisors to figure a way out. That's according to a Wall Street Journal report. Last week, the company was reported to be facing possible insolvency after incurring at least $400 million worth of liquidations. CoinDesk's Sheldon Reback has more. Meanwhile, a large wallet at the center of a governance drama over at the Solana lending platform Solen started to move millions of dollars worth of cryptocurrencies on Tuesday morning, the company said in a tweet. The move potentially averts the risk of contagion in case of a liquidation that could have caused hundreds of millions of dollars in losses. The anonymous wallet had deposited some 95% of Solen's pool of SOL tokens and represented at least 88% of dollar-pegged USDC borrowing. But that arrangement came close to a margin call last week as the SOL price dropped more than 40% to a low of $27. The protocol would have automatically liquidated up to 20% of the large investor's collateral if SOL had hit $22.30, which the firm said would have potentially led to damage to the broader Solana ecosystem. A governance vote was floated by the protocol developers to take control of the account and take steps to manage that risk, but it was rejected by its voting members, CoinDesk's Shuri Amawa reports. And finally, Republican lawmakers are trying to slam the brakes on any hasty decisions the Environmental Protection Agency may consider to address potential harm from cryptocurrency mining businesses, urging the regulator to study the claims before taking any action. More than a dozen Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee and House Financial Services Committee signed a letter last week to the agency's chief that was meant to counter a message from Democrats sent in April. The Democrats, a list of progressives that included Representative Jared Huffman, a Democrat from California who leads a subcommittee within the Natural Resources Committee, had warned about climate risks and called for more scrutiny, while the Republicans expressed more support for the industry. Environmental regulators should seek, quote, a comprehensive analysis as it relates to understanding the potential environmental effects of digital asset mining, according to the letter. They insisted that the U.S. government shouldn't do anything to disrupt American leadership in the sector. CoinDesk's Jesse Hamilton reports. And in culture news, here's Adrian Blust.
Thank you, Adam. What's up, everybody? Well, in this latest bull market, we saw the cryptocurrency industry expand and digital currencies became more adopted as an alternative to traditional assets. However, crypto trading has proven to be so addictive to some people that they are forced to seek help. In fact, rehab centers where people can seek treatment for addictions like alcohol and gambling are well known. And recently, these same facilities have seen an uptick in individuals seeking help controlling their crypto trading. Bloomberg first reported yesterday, and Finbold has the story.
Today's featured story is an opinion piece from CoinDesk's Dan Kuhn. Today's feature is entitled, Is Sam Bankman-Fried a Modern-Day Robber Baron? FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried is like a modern-day robber baron in at least one way. As the digital asset industry tumbles downward in fits and starts, the titan of industry who sometimes skips lacing his shoes is thinking about ways to prevent calamity and perhaps profit. This weekend, Bankman-Fried discussed the responsibility he feels to bail out crypto firms in crisis. He repeated the sentiment on Twitter, where he said the principal concern is mitigating retail losses, disclosing risks, and preventing bad debts from spreading across the sector. Quote, I do feel like we have a responsibility to seriously consider stepping in, even if it is at a loss to ourselves, to stem contagion, Bankman-Fried told NPR, continuing, even if we weren't the ones who caused it or we weren't involved, I think that's what's healthy for the ecosystem, and I want to do what I can to help it grow and thrive, end quote. There's a historical analogy here. J.P. Morgan, a leading banker in the time before the Federal Reserve, twice stepped in to prevent economic collapses. During the Panic of 1893, after a period of intense speculation and consolidation in the emerging railroad and banking industries, Morgan lent the Federal Treasury some $65 million in gold to re-up its dwindling reserves and firm up faith in the banking system. Then, amid the crisis of 1907, Morgan pledged his own capital and led a coalition of wealthy financiers to backstop failing banks, stock exchanges, and trust companies. Historians think Morgan's actions prevented a much deeper recession at the time, when the federal government had little ability to manage economic crises. Bankman-Fried, though perhaps less stylish than his Gilded Age forebears, might see a similar historical role to play. Earlier this week, FTX supplied the struggling crypto lender BlockFi with some $250 million in credit. Last week, Bankman-Fried's trading outfit, Alameda Research, bailed out crypto broker Voyager Digital. Over the years, he's acquired firms, like Liquid, that would have gone under following hacks, and has contributed to bailout funds for attacked protocols and projects. Of course, these lifelines aren't simply altruistic, but also a way for FTX to expand. Bankman-Fried is a self-proclaimed effective altruist or capitalist who believes in earning as much as possible to give back as much as possible. It's unclear whether his actions now fall in the former or the latter camps. Perhaps he's intervening today to profit tomorrow. Crypto is often compared to the wildcat banking era, a time when financial institutions were essentially able to print their own money and play by their own rules. Though there have been attempts to work with governments to achieve regulatory clarity, crypto sometimes seems to fall outside the norms and safety nets established in the traditional financial sector. In recent days, some of the biggest players in crypto, including Coinbase, Crypto.com, and Gemini, have announced layoffs. Influential hedge funds like Three Arrows Capital appear to be insolvent, while major lenders Celsius and Babel Finance have paused customer withdrawals. It's impossible to know the knock-on effects if any of these firms falter. Bankman-Fried clarified on Twitter that his role is not to save individual firms necessarily. His own firm is slowing hiring and reportedly pulled out of talks to advertise on Major League Baseball's Los Angeles Angels jerseys. Crypto is supposed to be guided by certain core principles, including financial transparency and free markets. Perhaps the most important is the idea that autonomous code, not humans, should determine winners and losers in markets, ensuring that everyone plays by the same rules. So is there a moral hazard in Bankman-Fried stepping in, even if he's bypassing the guarantees of the Fed? Despite its lofty ambitions, crypto is racked with scams, insider trading, and a culture of backroom deals. Today, the firms that seem at the greatest risk of default are those that are primarily reproducing the worst aspects of the legacy financial system, all without consumer protections. Celsius and Three Arrows were taking risky bets with client funds, and centralized exchanges are black boxes. While some on-chain community-governed protocols seem to be faring better, that doesn't make them a perfect solution. This weekend, developers of the Solana-based lending protocol Solend voted, and I'm saying that with air quotes, to commandeer a highly leveraged user's wallet to lessen the effects of an expected margin call. A DAO was formed, and the transactions were on-chain, but it's striking that this was ever a possible course of action. If crypto learns anything from the ongoing market reckoning, let it be that its only real hope in breaking away from the convoluted, easily corrupted legacy financial system is in real decentralization. Open protocols cannot prevent bad actors, but can provide the necessary information for investors to make their own decisions. In his interview with NPR, Bankman-Fried noted that the core driver of the market sell-off, quote, had been the Fed, end quote, the largest interest rate hike since 1994. An attempt to quell inflation, it may have accelerated and failed to protect, is causing markets to puke capital. Though he isn't all doom and gloom, perhaps seeing himself in the American institution, he noted how the central bank is, quote, caught between a rock and a hard place, end quote. Progressive politicians of Morgan's day were driven to create the Fed, in part after witnessing Morgan and his peers' influence on the economy. Despite his altruistic intentions, the Pujo Committee feared that Morgan could influence markets for his own gain. And for his part, Bankman-Fried is amenable to working with regulators. He said he'd spend upwards of $1 billion in political contributions in part to earn officials' ears. Changes need to be made, especially if crypto's largest players are just going to create a worse banking system. But the real change, challenges, and opportunities of the crypto industry will happen at the protocol level, not directed by any one person. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blust, and we'll be back tomorrow with another news roundup. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.